Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Vogue, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. Because we off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy, Lil Yaka, UNLV. Bragging them from the river. Cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
Alright, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
Alright.
Y'all, this is Miss Irresistible giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip-hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Dope Fresh to Dine, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, untouched show on radio. The Guillotine Scene, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off the these clowns.
Get our chance.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, nah.
Sometimes I just sit alone in the dark and blaze the house on. Kinda fills my mind. Oh, I'm thinking about stressful times. The world is getting cold. My mama always said I would put that for her, not myself.
I'm stupid, but I'm moving the game. We rock from the treetop, why you worrying about what we got? Curbs, birds, and homies slinging big cops. He plot, we plot, he cop, we shot. Call canard, stomp these niggas like Reebok. Black folks is a mess, why we not? Pushing for the same goals, boy, you just sold your soul. However do you want it? A penny for your thought or a nickel for your kiss? If you ain't getting the millions, why you fucking
why you
with
fucking
it?
With it?
Hell yeah, everybody gotta eat, but you riding with the devil in your motherfucking passenger seat. From bread and butter to bread and meat, you bitch ass niggas ain't getting me. So why y'all sweating me, daring me? Ain't now one of you motherfuckers scaring me? This is L.C.
Heavy on my mind,
heavy
all the time, so heavy on my mind.
I used to have a homie who would lend me cash, let me use his car and stay down for the match. And when the game came to me, I did the same for his ass. But he just kept on bringing up the past. Let him ride out of town first class. Had him drinking champagne out of $100 glass. Talking about things that a nigga never had. Bought him his first pad, now my nigga mad. Hold up my dad, ask him what to do about it. He said, son, you need to pray for your enemies. Now look at me, putting it in God's hand. And this nigga talking about getting at me, man. Shit, the names have been changed to protect us all. Cause on the real, y'all need to holler at me, dawg. I'm trying to put the West Coast back on the map. And I ain't going for no hood traps by no motherfucking hood.
So heavy on my mind, all the time. So heavy on my mind, all the time.
Y'all ain't ready for the hood rap with the good cat. I watch these fools
over, something out of Hollywood. They act like they on top of the world. Y'all can't stop this girl from bringing something new to the world. Order, my G's is moving keys across borders. I push jokes through your tape recorders, and everybody wanna hit, but everybody ain't got this. At a show, watch me can rock in. Black gang, my shit bang in the street. I hang with niggas who creep through hoods and keep heat under my pillow so I can sleep good. Big jam, make every party bounce like my homie Fleetwood. My mission is to move y'all like I was a U-Haul. Everybody claim to put in work, who would prove all they comedians. And like Tony, I'ma make sure they never breathe again, huh?
So heavy on my mind all the time. So heavy on my mind all the time. It's so heavy on my mind.
We got to get paid, make my decisions, make y'all all pay. We can stay ballin' with a G like you. Khaki French braid, reputable, keeping it true. In the GS, when you see us, we on dubs. Any BS that wanna see us, get domed up. 18's on the hang like you bang for years. Main bitch and I ain't switch, bringin' the tears. Hot bitch like Eddie Kendrick when you hittin' the pennies. His and hers, semis regulate the problems we finish. Taught me how to grind, separate my nickels from dubs. G with it when you win it, so I'm showing you love. Had to check abroad yesterday for grilling you down. Shut it down quick, cause me still wanna see these rounds. Any beef you got, trust me, gon' eat it together. Hold it down in the hood while I get this cheddar. Whether it's all grits and gravy or we ready to tangle, it's all G heavenly, so you labeling me your angel. I got these cats at close range. I'm contagious to these names. We broke game. It's time to kill game. I feel your pain. They wanna stretch you for some change. Never worry, boo. I'm not gon' change. It's gon' still feel the same. Besides, you said you done with them gangs. There ain't no love lost. I holler that you know you're in the sand in the cold. Boss bitch, and I can put that on the cross. I'ma bang for you, and we gon' pull through. So when they release you from them bars, we gon' look up at the stars. Notice the hood stars. They moving the sides. Together got them at war. And ass for them broads, you know the rules. It ain't a chicken alive. They can walk in my shoes. I pay dues. They need a Bentley pull up. Brand new. What the f***? They better get on the bus. Remember the dreams about the house up on the hill. Spending about a quarter mil.
Shout out to our co-host in spirit, a lot of Sandman, Lady Chinchilla. We are sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Dirty Basement Radio, Jesse's Boutique, and Core Financial. We are back in live and direct for another live and slamming Saturday night special. And this show,
yes, sir.
King,
yes, sir.
Is,
I
yeah.
Say, I would just let you know that she's going to be called in at any time now. So I just wanted to take a little brief music break to let people know where to find us. Do a little advertising here and there, and to let people know
big
what
up,
we got going on with Off the Cuff Radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Definitely, definitely. And I guess, King, it's only right before, you know, Big Shan comes in, you know, we might as well, you know, give her, you know, her proper introduction and whatnot.
Most definitely, man. I mean, she's going to be pulling in probably about maybe 5 to 10 minutes. So in the meantime,
okay,
we just got to put, you know, put some respect on her name first and foremost. Being, we
yeah,
know, one-third of Funky's Angels, and she rebranded herself to where now that she's conquering the fashion industry, it's a beautiful story to tell. And she's
yeah.
going to be here. shortly or any time to pull up and talk about that. You know what I mean?
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, man. I mean, one thing about it, King, is, you know, when you're in the hip-hop game, you know, and no matter what capacity of it, you know, that is one thing that's always important, of always being able to, you know, brand yourself in any way possible.
Exactly, because that's what this game is all about, man. It's about not only staying current, but actually being ahead of the curve, because it changes so quick. And next thing you know, you lost in the sauce before you know it.
Definitely, definitely. And that's always about one thing, and being in the game, man. Always understanding what's coming next and being able to move with it.
And to let people know what we got going on, I want to let people know that if y'all want to tune in to Off the Cuff Radio, we on YouTube, we're on SoundCloud. We still have our Blog Talk link, so you only want to pull up to hear the Rough, Rugged, and Raw shows. Check the Blog Talk link there as well. And
definitely
follow that
definitely.
Off the Cuff Radio page as well.
Definitely, definitely. We definitely got all aspects of media, multimedia. Off the Cuff is still making moves, doing what we do, and we are constantly still branding and expanding. You know how it go.
Exactly. And yesterday we had the DMX tribute show with Screwball Radio. Some of them songs I couldn't probably play on YouTube due to copyright strikes or whatever. So if you want to hear the full show, just click on that Blog Talk link and you can download it yourselves. We played a lot of the classics, man. The B-sides, the remixes, the joints that Dog did. That didn't never caught to see a light of day, he put it down. So it was only right for us to dedicate that show to him. Hold on 1 second. Had to make sure the audio was right. May have to call back in, T-Max. For some reason, I lost a little connection here. But nevertheless, we here live and direct, Off the Cuff Radio, episode 384. This is the Big Chan episode. She's going to be pulling up shortly. So in the meantime, what we're going to do, we're going to go to some more music. And if you want to chop it up, we'll be the call number is 516-531-9596. Let's go. I'm going to play another gem for the Doggies Angels joint. Let's go.
Turn the track up a little bit. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's the ghetto Cinderella in the doghouse, y'all. Been an angel since my moms and pops dropped their drawers. I'm really from my hood, because my hood is where I'm from. And that shit y'all came, y'all did, I already done. From front line, to get superior rhyming, blinding motherfuckers, because I shine like Windex. Erase motherfuckers when I use my index. I break motherfuckers, kicking them in their larynx. I'm cracking their face when I put up in the L.O. On dubs, motherfucker, with the peanut butter guts. I ball with the small and the big dogs. I sit day ball and pop bottles of crystal. I guess niggas put on their back for one phone call. I done it all. Even had a nigga propose while in the sugar walls. Oh Lord, it's going down like waterfalls. I be chan, broke niggas up out of their pockets with a southern draw. You see, I got niggas there to die for me. Ride for me. Rest in peace to my nigga Eazy-E. Thanks to Snoop, Mr. E, for believing in me.
I'm in the game just to get over. They don't wanna lean on my shoulder. Get off your ass or don't might come your way.
We get money and make money.
My two homies trying to get over. Be patient, your wait is over. We all gonna see a better day. Believe that.
Now how we do? G-Win is how we live in my crew. Motherfuckers ain't ready and we knew. Though these angels torment them out the blue. When we step out, niggas be quick to stick their neck out. All eyes on entourage, cause cavalry be decked out. Unlimited chips, splurge, chrome feet shine the curve. Into why the haters on the sidelines observe. Facial expression carried above average. Ain't holding Trump paper, but live ghetto lavish. Shabbish, my main focus.
niggas better know
that. Goniac gon' pimp it active and follow where the dough at, and you know that.
Knock you by with being bald.
Ain't concerned with what niggas got or how much they cost.
Regardless of the
nothing's impossible, unstoppable.
Like, oh my God.
Tapping at the mouth like I'm easy to see. Nigga, I'm a motherfucking double OG. Game recognized, game on them streets. Yeah, PPD, in case you try to split me, you're free. The angels on deck, yep, yep, with the heat. D-H-G-P, side up.
We ingested, reconstructed, and re-popped. Our pimping all we got like Giannino, Barcelino when we dipping. Serving bitches off the back with the nastiest track. Cola low, smoking sacks of the African black. Keep the dubs formed up, the baddest like showing up. Rolling with the old stuff, double breasted, choked up. Bitches try to stay afloat with them Ronnie Ho quote. Marianne, she's with it and spit it to go for broke. Representing fly niggas, not them gunshot niggas. Never asking why niggas, ready to lullaby niggas. Got the game locked down, collab with Future Sound. LOC's part of me, industry be go.
Now you motherfuckers know just what that seat like. So to catch you slipping when we dipping in the Jeep ride. Hit you up and in the motherfucking heat fly. We hitting corners, banging on this shit east side. Lil' Jeep go dip, gangsta go digger. Long beach rolling, holding small figures. Chippers, we go get us. And don't speak up on my niggas. We some cold killers, I'm banging what killers.
Low nigga banging that insane for life. A gang of strikes, taking flight, game is tight. Trace D straight G regulating the doghouse. Call out your click, bitch, niggas get dogged out.
It ain't no lie.
They wanna shake my hand, then they wanna fuck my man. Are you ready for the worst? They even think they get jammed. No need to kick it no more. You hoes don't put no money in my pocket, fuck being broke. I'm all about the Benjamin. Fuck a new friend, billboard top 10, nigga, what? Keep on hating, ooh, because I'm lyrically advanced. I come up with shit quicker than you, make your crew scream. Give me one more chance, glance at the stars in the sky. The only ones I know, so take the fuck up out of mind. You love to see me struggle, never that, because I got way too much hustle in my bank, money over niggas. Only train of thought is watching the dough get bigger. So it ain't about figures, then fuck all you niggas. And I won't let it trouble my brain. I said away goes them haters down the drain. Huh?
It ain't no lie.
In my own circle, fuck it, you can call me the angry postal worker. I'm trying to get the money right, but come to find out, niggas who I thought was down, we ain't really tight. A nigga get a name, a little fame, then you think I flip the script, now that's a damn shame. I remain the same individual, still getting drunk with the fiends and the criminals. Time to bring the hard head out the cut, squeak who refuses swing from you niggas nuts. How can you call yourself a man? I got my own dick and balls with my own program. I wanna throw you haters in the cellar, along with the punk ass bitches and the caterpillars. Keep my name out your grill with your big mouth, and all niggas who cross me, your ass out.
And Sheba Black, mommy pushing cruise control on the BM to the X. Getting more checks, player haters make a left. Give me your neck to neck, or you a hot cat. Fashion, won't you step in my zone? I'm gon' still be late, step on slaughter, Al Capone. The ill my staff, young sticker lay it down. She knows and they been top dog, I'm still shooting rounds.
So how many niggas can count 100 G's? And how many bitches can grind without getting on their knees? Bitch, please, who you calling? Get the haterism out your life. She's a hoe, not the housewife, hating on me. Wanna be a player just like me? Fronting on me, always thinking gas up on me. I beg to differ, I got the world on my shoulder. The DP stick, but you can't fuck it over.
It ain't no lie. It ain't no lie.
Oh. What up? Yeah. It's me again. So I need y'all to, get the wax out your ears, cause, listen.
It ain't nothing going on but the rent. I'm in the studio late nights making hits. So come and holler at this real hood chick and take a hit of this bomb green good shit while I keep dropping this gangsta shit. You know it don't stop, it ain't tricking. If you got it, got game, then pop it. Got drama, then you need to drop it. I'd rather be off the sauce in the club, sitting pretty in the cut. 36 waist with a 36 double D cup. Niggas wanna taste, I can tell how they pushing up. Like a bra, they on my strap, doing way too much. Play a look, but don't touch. Can your girl get past without you feeling on my ass? I got some goons in the truck in case you want an old-fashioned ass kicking. Pay attention, we ain't playing over here. We bout some presidents, so get it in. Up. I ain't came to floss or back my ass up. I've been a dime diva, you niggas can't toss up. I'm on the come up, stepping my chips up. Switching lanes, finna pass the pass up. Cause you're looking at the future. Sexy like Kama Sutra. Lay low and keep it neutral. Go hard on the yard like Cinco Uncho. You juntos, know exactly where you can go. If you interfere with the flow, I watch from the peripheral like E-Po-O. Just tell me when to go, when I hit you with the fofo. But I ain't a killer though, but I drive on my thriller, yo. And I'm just like a Negro, I don't give a fuck about a hoe. Bigger figures always been the number one bro. Phenomenal woman with a swagger so cold. What's the word? I treat the game like a smoker on the block getting served. Fuck what you heard. Me and my money reunited like peaches and herb. When I ain't had none, I got kicked with a curve. Any snitches got the nerve to think that I ain't gon' get it and splurge. I'ma play with it like a pervert and lay with it on the beach just coolin' like Levert. Who got that work? I do. I just spit it in the third verse. Who's hot? Well, it's not you, cause you heard it here first. And it can get worse. I can hurt your feelings with a few words. So if you're scared, go to church. But two birds in my hand to keep a couple grand in my purse. I'm big champ player, and I cover the earth. Big Chan on the rap, yeah. They made me come out of retirement for this one. Uh-huh, two-step to that. That's how I sit at y'all now. On some grown and sexy shit. You know, yeah. So visible. So visible on the track. Big Chan on the raps.
Doing it until I'm filthy rich. Motherfuckers get me.
rich to this. We rich rolls, double lows, whole cavalry stagnated. Niggas living, gator angles of bone. Collaborated, top thug, throwing dub. You bitches, this fever real.
We mash off with mask off and season this.
Squared off like a prison, we hooked with G-ism. Niggas off and medicated, can't relate to how we living. We walk like Rock Wallace, popping Chris and I collar. In the club, high post, got the niggas scared to holler. Dog house and bone thugs, just way too big. Track lost out, we lost out, you underdig.
Place believe it. DA gon' give it to you, cause that's how we
move.
Most of us on that shotgun doing they step on the dime where we dwell in the realest sphere. Where motherfuckers get excluded cause their auras ain't green.
We have some big focus like with four dolls.
The left for the dog cap. A camouflage that a major nigga with the apparel cavalry. Colony, right or left, left or right, whole percolation tight. While my niggas cop the G's and my bitches rock. Paper unstackable and all my homies got it.
Red, yellow. Place believe it.
My thug in the doghouse, now who in the fuck gon' trust this powerhouse? Nigga won't pull your car, we'll strike you out, knocking you out of the box. Nigga, it's a mad world with a bad girl, like the doggies ain't just laughing, laying sick on smash. Nigga, we out here getting this fashion triple, zero, 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 zero. I don't see too many people lagging, not to be backing. Nigga, we out here knowing what's happening, rapping fools, trying to tell a story, trying to have a little fun. Glory, nigga, we heated heavy. At all times, congested business moves. So major paper chasing, alleviating stress. With the booty that we left, nevertheless, when it's mobbing for real. Niggas, they keep it real, nigga, I'ma keep it real. Tell you exactly how I feel, you know the drill. It's the G, please. And then we overseas, blowing trees. When my wife, my Long Beach OG. Easy, rest in peace. I'ma put it down to the day I die.
With the shit that just make you kill it slow. Keeping the gangster so you can always feel it though. Living the life of a rapper and the CEO. My life ain't changed except that strange silly hoe. Bitches ain't shitting, I mean it sincerely though. Come inside the house so you can hear me though. Feel it though, you silly hoe. Here we go. Come on everybody, y'all all get down. What we have is a brand new sound. So nobody out there be misled. I got a bitch in my bed and she gon' give me some head. Please believe it. Please believe it. You know what? Please believe it. Please believe it.
Everybody get up.
You got to believe in me.
Everybody get up.
Gotta believe in something. Might as well believe in me. Big Snoop Dogg. Doggy's Angels. Lazy Bone. Battle Cat on the track. Believe that. Hello. Please believe me. Please believe it. Please believe it. And we out. See ya. Sideways to the next lot. Can't leave without doing it.
When you grind, everybody loves the sunshine. It's your girl, Miss Toy. My boy, Speak Low. Ready to drop it like this. Let's go.
Summertime just got started, new bikini body like pow. Everywhere I go, I plan to shut it down. Me and my whole crew love to bring the heat. Watch how we take the beach, it's like the new freak neat. Ooh, quick peek, oh no, kill em please. Summertime buzzing with all this here fresh meat. Now watch me rock the party, something like lolly dotty dotty. And don't cause trouble and don't bother nobody. Make sure we have a good day in Southern Calais. Wanna take a dip in the pool, we do it my way. Just let your head down. Gone girl, have some fun. Let them boys mess it up, then they can't go get it done. Then later on, we can cruise around the way. My life, sunshine every day. California highways, being what they gonna say. Wishing they was on the west coast so they can hide away.
It's the town and we on our way. Enjoy this beautiful day. Summertime, girl, California grind. Everybody loves the sunshine.
sunshine. The town and we on our way. Gotta go enjoy this beautiful day. Beautiful day. California grind. Everybody loves the sunshine. Everybody loves the sunshine.
You hit the gossip block to blog it. Block party rockin'.
The number that showed up was a whopping.
Models like a model watchin'. Black and check with Savaki and rap gecko and possum, they all for riding. I walked in bopping, collar popping, hair nappy, feeling like apartment carpet, hydraulic topping, grinding to a slip locking, spit swapping later on is getting kind of travel lodging. Yeah, street farmers all a clocking.
I'm your
got what you need, we crack the oxycontin. Step on your seat, you got a clock up, not an option. It's just the consequences for being out of pocket. Live it up, liquor up, drink lots of toxins. Mix it up, different cups, that's my concoction. Pour out some for the homies, not forgotten. A moment of silence, that's why I am pausing.
Hit the town and we on our way. Gotta go enjoy this beautiful day. California grind, everybody loves the sunshine.
Everybody loves the sunshine.
It's the town and we on our way. Gotta go enjoy this beautiful day. This beautiful day. California grind, everybody loves the sunshine.
Everybody loves the sunshine.
It's the town and we on our way.
Yeah.
Gotta go enjoy this beautiful day. Summertime love, California grind. Everybody loves the sunshine.
Everybody loves the sunshine.
It's the town and we on our way. Enjoy this beautiful day, summertime love, California grind, everybody loves the sun,
everybody loves the sunshine. Sunshine.
Yeah, 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 hold up. We're going to take a little intermission to listen to what we got to say at Off the Cuff Radio, man. We had to put y'all some warm-up songs here from the classic Dawg and Angels joint along with Big Chan herself, solo classics. And you know what? We got her on the line, y'all. One-third of one of the best girl trios of hip-hop. Kept that foundation gangster, gutter, and independent. And now she's taking over the fashion industry. And without further ado, bring on Big Chan for episode 384, y'all.
Jill. Oh, congratulations to 384 episodes.
Look, we thank you.
Appreciate
it. We are so, yeah, man, look. Lady Chan, we are so humble. We are so privileged to have you on. You're one of the legendary, luminary, lovely ladies of the LBC, carrying on such a lyrical legacy and tradition. I mean, this is an honor.
Let me tell you this. We got to go back to the drawing board, man, because this is a special show for the simple fact that she's on the line and along with we 14 or 15 episodes away from hitting the 400, so we got to give each other a round of applause.
Yeah.
Well, first, I want to say thank you, guys. Second, shout out to the Platinum Queen. Third, one of the girls was from Long Beach, and two are from South Central, and I happen to be one from South Central.
Got you. Okay, okay. SC up in the building. SC.
Yes. So how y'all doing?
We good.
We are blessed.
We good, man.
We are definitely blessed, and we're counting our blessings, even though, as everybody know, man, we lost an icon in the industry with DMX. Been a tough week,
yes.
But we're gonna carry on
it's
for the dog.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, one thing about it is, you know, definitely for what you know he represented is what you represent, which is this great culture we call hip hop, and the diversification of you know y'all chosen vocation, you know it's just something to say and see in terms of looking at how, you know, from where, you know, UNX started in terms of both being ferocious on the microphone to transitioning and other ventures. You know, X became an actor, and you, you know, became, in addition to being a fantastic MC, also became a fabulous fashionista as well. I mean, we got to get this whole story about that whole journey from, you know, your journey into hip-hop to rhyming to, you know, what they call in show business the second act is, you know, being a distinguished fashion designer. I mean, so I guess, Lady Shan, we get right to it. Tell us a little bit about yourself representing this, the South Central, you know, and born and raised, and how, you know, where you came from then to where you are now.
Yeah, for those who are just tuning in and, you know, got, you know, they're late to the party, we just got to let people know what you represent, where you stand, your contribution.
Okay, well, first off, unlike DMX, and that's something that I learned about him just over the last few days, all my run-ins with him, he's always been the same, you know?
Right.
And I was just thinking, you know, when they asked him a question on Dream Champs, and not to defer from what you just asked me, because I'm going to get to that, because it's just really been heavy on my heart. And Noriega asked him, you know, what you want your last words to be? And he said, if I drop dead right now, you know, I lived a good life. And I thought about that because I felt like, oh, God, let him pull through, because he just got so much in him. He letting people know about you. He spread your word everywhere he go. And then I thought about it. It's like he lived a good life because he did what he came here to do. I mean, this man had 8 albums, and everyone had a prayer on him. I mean, that's just like unheard of in hip-hop, and I don't think, well, I could speak for myself, that I really didn't pay attention to that because we're not really used to hearing rappers pray in hip-hop. You know what I mean?
Right.
But God has always been with me on this journey. I've always put him first. I never had a manager. I never had no one who went out and got deals for me. I got them all on my own. So I'm just saying that to say, God was very instrumental in my, how can I put it, what I contributed to hip-hop, because Eazy-E discovered me. And that was the first person to sign me. And I rapped for him at a video shoot. My homegirl was like, Chan know how to rap. Eazy was like, Chan can't rap. Then, you know, I shot this little freestyle. And he was surprised because I would see him and Dre out all the time, and I used to be like, listen to my demo. Ain't have no demo, but, you know, I got a demo. I want y'all to hear me rap. And they like, girl, go on with that, you know. So one day I had that opportunity, and me and Eazy was in that trailer, and I rapped for him. And he was like, what? You know, he was very surprised. He was like, you know, come down to my office. I'm going to sign you. And that's how everything started, the first group that I was in. It was with Silky Fine, Diamond, and CC. And we were a group that he was going to make a female version of N.W.A. So cut to, Bone Thugs came to the table, and they was ready. You know what I mean? They were ready, and we weren't. So Eazy, as a businessman, he did what he saw fit that was going to work and was going to try to piggyback us off of Bone. You know what I mean? But everybody know he ended up passing away, and so that's how that kind of fell through for us. But then, as fate would have it, Tamika signed me, Tamika Wright, his wife then, she signed me to a solo deal. So that was my second time being signed to Ruthless. And, you know, long story short, that didn't pan out either, but the money that I got from that deal, I made that demo and saw Snoop in a crap game. He was in a club downtown. And this is a true story. He was in a club downtown L.A. I forget that club, but I think Prince used to own it. And so it had the little patio outside. And I went to this club. I did not know he was there, but me, I always had my music with me. I had something on me because I had learned when you run into these people, you know, you telling them to listen to your demo, you need to be ready because you may not have these opportunities again. And for some reason this night, I had it with me. I interrupted the crack game, spoke to Snoop, and he was like, what's up, L.A. Chan? He used to call me L.A. Chan, and I was like, listen, I got my demo. I want you to listen to it. If you don't like it, don't throw it out the window. That was kind of that. Cut two, I'm at home. I'm in the bed one day. Just, you know, what, Saturday, watching TV, phone ring, and I'm like, hello? And he was like, L.A. Chan. And I was like, what's up? And he was like, this Snoop. I said, this ain't Snoop. And so he just started laughing. And he was like, this is me. What you doing? I said, I'm watching Soul Train. And he started laughing again. And so he said, I want you to come to the doghouse. And then I was like, well, where's that? I ain't never been. You know, that's when he had his studio in his house out in Claremont.
Right.
He was like, I want you to come out here. And, you know, that's really how that started. But me and Snoop, we used to do little freestyle cyphers because, you know, back in the day, they used to get these hotel rooms. Everybody got their drink and they smoke. And we would just be in there rapping. You know what I'm saying? And I know people might not believe this, but he became a fan of mine because every time he would see me, people would be like rapping. I'm freestyling. And it was always against the men. So we kind of gained that, you know, friendship, hip-hop
camaraderie,
connection.
Right.
And then he told me one day, he said, when I get my label, I'm going to sign you. And before that call, I didn't, you know, I was like, yeah, right. So he hooked up with Master P at this time when he was just leaving Death Row. And so another producer that I was working with, he called me, and he was kind of salty, and he was like, so you signed with Snoop? And I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, well, I'm sitting here looking at the album cover and in the credits. He talking about you and Goldie Loke, his artist. I hung up that phone. I went to my little mom and pop record store my boy Aaron had, and I bought the CD that he put out, and sure enough, he had put that in the album cover. You know, back then when people gave you credits and you can go read them, you know, it was that type of thing.
Insert.
And I was just blown away. Yeah, and I was blown away, but I had no way to contact him. So, you know, long story short, after I gave him that demo, I got that call, and that was pretty much the beginning of everything. I was supposed to do a solo album with Snoop. It wasn't supposed to be no group, but this other producer, Jelly Roll, was working with the other two, and he let Snoop hear him, and then Snoop was like, his light came on, and he was like, okay, we can do a group. And that's how that came about. I happened to know one already, and then I had met the other one because what he did, and it was kind of like the same thing Eazy-E did, when he decided he wanted to do a group, it was like I was already in the group, but he had a whole bunch of girls come to the studio that night, and he just had everybody mm-hmm. rap for their life. And, you know, them two was the ones who made the cut.
So, I mean,
and that's how,
you know,
Doggy's Angels, that's how Doggy's Angels was born.
Yeah, man. You know, and it's wild because, you know, when Cola Loke was with us a couple of years ago, she told us about, you know, the story about how, you know, it was just, you know, it was a blood sport, you know, in terms of, you know, like you said, it was like, you know, if you got your best shit, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, and it's, you know, Chan, this is, we sit back and reminisce because you're a direct link to that golden era of West Coast hip hop that, you know, King and myself, we're older, so we really, really, really appreciate what you all brought to the table in terms of, you know, laying that, you know, continuing to lay down that, you know, rhyme tradition. What was it like during that time in terms of just the West in reference? Because we're talking about, you know, the 95, 96 era. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Cam, you know, Shaquilla, you know, I mean, J.O. Felony, Raf Cass, you know, Compton's Righteous, you know, L.A. Nash, so many. I mean, y'all were just, like, doing it big back then. You know what I'm saying?
That's
of
when
course, Mac Dre was still doing his thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, of course, they're taking it up to the Bay, you know, with Mac Dre, E-40, Too Short. I mean, you know, it's like,
just what was that whole atmosphere like around the West Coast during that time, from, you know, Southern California to Northern California, with, you know, y'all really, really beginning to, you know, really assert yourselves as, you know, really to be respected, you know, and connected out there?
Oh, wow. I mean, I've always loved West Coast rap. My biggest influence was N.W.A. So a lot of my dreams was coming true, because the people who I wanted to do music with and be affiliated with, they actually signed me as an artist. And for me to be a dark-skinned girl during that time, because things are very different now, you know, I didn't have to sleep for none of my deals. They respected me just for the talent alone, because I was hungry and I was ambitious and I loved what I did, and I just, you know, I just knew I was going to do it. So just being a part of this West Coast staple, being cut from the cloth of an Eazy-E and a Snoop Dogg, I mean, some people will live a lifetime trying to accomplish some of those things that I've accomplished, and that's just not toot my own horn. That comes from an inspirational point of view. Like, you got to see things for yourself, you know, no matter what nobody tell you, because a lot of people shitted on me. A lot of people wouldn't sign me, you know, for those facts. And these two niggas, excuse that, they gave me
a chance. No, this is off the cuff, baby. Say what you want. Say what you want.
Oh, okay, well, shit. These niggas, you know, they gave me a break. They kept my break line, and they didn't look at none of that. They was looking at the talent. And so much I learned from Eazy-E just alone, just like I saw him as a businessman, and he would sit down, he would write everything. Everything was a plan. He wrote everything that he was going to do with us, what he was going to do with Bone Thugs and Harmony, just like days in the office at Ruthless up there with Jerry Heller, and just watching that whole thing go down, because a lot of these artists, they don't pay attention to the business side of this industry. They turned on by, you know, the money, the fame, the jewelry, the cars, the hoes, and all of this, but the main key to being in the industry is knowing that business. So that was one key thing that I learned from Eazy. Snoop, one thing I learned from him, that brother know how to brand himself, and he knows how to remain relevant, you know? And so that's why I took all of that and flipped it with fashion, because I was sketching when I was in a group, and one day I brought my sketchbook to Snoop and showed him all my sketches of just things that I was designing, and he was blown away. He was like, you got to do that fashion. And, you know, that kind of stuck with me, too. But back to answer your question, I love West Coast hip-hop. And Cube was actually my favorite West Coast rapper, because I love the way he told stories, and I got my storytelling from him. I used to see Pac in the studio. I've been in a lot of sessions with Tupac, and Tupac didn't play when he go in that studio. He treated it like a job. You'll go in the studio and see 50 niggas sitting around drinking and all that, just chilling. But Pac could be done three songs while they doing all that bullshit. And that's something that I learned, too. He took that that space and that time, and he utilized it. It just wasn't for hanging out and kicking it for him, because, you know, this was his thing. He was hip-hop. And so just being around all that, having the opportunity to be around these guys, I just soaked all that up. I was young. I was sponge. And, you know, I just kept saying, you know, one day I'm going to do it. And that's what really inspired me when I got the opportunity to actually meet these people that I love so much. And shit, the first song that I did on Wax was a song with Yo-Yo. It was called Pass It On. And Q happened to come to the studio that night. You know, and he's like, okay, Chan, now say this at this the end of the night. You know, he punching in through the booth talking to me, and it was just really blowing my mind, because I'm like, this is my favorite rapper of ever. You know what I mean? So it's just West Coast or nothing for me, because, yeah.
Man, look. And you know one thing about it, lady, you know, one thing is that, you know, because, you know, we had to butter you up, because I had to send you the stuff in your IG this morning. I'm the one that sent you that stuff in your DM this morning with the magazine clippings and the album. So we wanted to let you know.
Oh, wow. I was like, oh, he did his homework.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. That was me.
That's why we call him Team Match with the facts, man, because he be having all that information stacked. He's like the Professor X of the clique.
Right. And that's what's up. That's real journalism.
Yeah, definitely. You know, well, one thing about it, man, I mean, you know, and it's just, you know, it's wild, man, because, you know, when we hear the stories about Easy, you know, and there's so many. We've been blessed to meet so many people along the way. Shout out to Big Hutch. We had him on a couple months ago, and Uncle Hutch
was
telling us.
That's my guy right there.
Yeah, you know, shout out to Uncle Hutch, man, you know, a great guy, you know, and above the law, Pomona, we see y'all stand up, you know, and he always said the same thing about, you know, Easy from his business acumen. We know a lot of people, you know, that were close to Pac, you know, and they said the same thing about Pac's work ethic in the studio, that when that man came in, that man was ready to go locked and loaded on the lines right then, mm-hmm. ready to just do it.
Guys.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and of course, like I said, you know, you were among that new generation of, you know, female, you know, rappers coming out. I mean, of course, JJ Fab was out there, you know, mm-hmm. Boss, you know, you have, of course, you know, Yo-Yo. I said Shaquilla earlier. For those that don't know, you know, what Off the Cuff do, we always try to get a little history lesson, too. On as to what you're saying, and shout out to South Central Cartel too, Havoc Prodigy, you know, all everybody
yes.
in the clique. You know, Shaquilla was the one who had the last verse up there and just bodied it.
Okay.
And she's from the Bay Area. She dropped one album. It's failing me for the moment what it was called. But I mean, you came in, you know, in terms of like being that next wave. And, I mean, it's like, did you realize the impact that you all were going to have in terms of really, 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 you know, representing not only for the West Coast, but for the ladies of hip-hop out there as well?
Yeah, we ran so some of these heifers could walk, not for real. But my thing is this. We made a big impact. We left a classic album behind. And, you know, for some females from the West Coast to get as far as we did, I think is pretty damn amazing, you know? And Snoop really put his stamp on that, and he put together a quality album to where we had all the West Coast all-stars on there pretty much. I mean, we had Nate Dogg on there, the Eastsiders, Cocaine, Sugar Free. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
That album is a classic album. If
yes,
I
it
never
is.
Do nothing else, I put my stamp in it. You know what I'm saying? Receive it how you want to receive it, or reject it how you want to reject it, but you got to respect it because that's history. Done deal. You know what I'm saying? And just to be a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, of course. You know, I'd be remiss. Yeah, I mean, I'd be remiss without mentioning Sugar T and Silky Fine. I mean, y'all really, like, really laid it down, letting everybody know that that y'all have variety. What was it like, you know, after signing with Uncle Snoop about, you know, when y'all really realized, like, this was about to happen, when y'all got that call, you know, when Snoop was like, okay, you know, it's time to hit the studio and really put this thing together, you know, lay it down like carpet and walk all over the haters with it, you know, you know, what was that like, you know, with those studio sessions and really, you know, conceptualizing what you all wanted to bring to the game?
Well, it was a lot of smoke sessions, I can tell you that. And each time we would come to the studio, Snoop played beats. He running through beats.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was a song we did called Game to Get Over, and that's with us and the Eastsiders and Snoop himself. And I believe Battle Cat did the beat, and he was not trying to unask that beat. And I was owning the whole night, like, Snoop, let us get that beat, you know. And he finally caved in, and what we did with it was just so bomb, you know what I'm saying? That's like one of my favorite songs on there. But what it was like being in that atmosphere, it was, because we worked. Every night we went in, we worked. And we worked so much so with that same pattern, before we knew it, our album was done in like a month, to be honest with you. And I'll never forget the last night Snoop called everybody to the studio. It was so many people in the studio, and blunts just kept going around and around and around and around and around and around. I'm like, I'm going to pass out. But he played our whole album, and that vibe was so beautiful. Nobody seen me, but I cried because I couldn't believe that that shit sounded so good. You didn't have to skip nothing. Everybody was just vibing through the whole thing, just passing the buck. Like, it was really a good time. And that's when I knew, I said, we got something here, because this shit is knocking. And what really blew it out the water for me is when we performed on Soul Train, because what's the irony of Snoop calling me one day, what you doing? Oh, I'm watching Soul Train too. Next thing you know, mama, I'm on Soul Train. You know what I'm saying? So it, hey, that was the best ride of my life, to be honest with you. And then, you know, shout out to Silky Fine, because that was my rap partner back in the day when we used to ride around in her car. She had the back window busted out, but we was, like I said, we was young, we was hungry, we eat, sleep, and shit, rap. And we'll be in her car with a boombox, just freestyling, riding through South Central. You know what I'm saying? And I want to give her her flowers, because regardless, she's another pioneer in this. And she's had some of the same experiences that I've had in being signed to her, I mean, signed with her on Ruthless Records as well, you know? And also shout out to Badass, because he kept the Angel's candle lit when he put out his second single on his debut album, which he didn't have to do, but I know it was also people in place who helped to facilitate that. But we got another single off of the whole just Doggy's Angel ride with Badass when we did How We Get Down. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to that brother, and he loved us, and we loved him the same. You know what I mean? So it was just a real experience.
And that record, y'all could tell y'all had a lot of fun creating that record. I mean, you guys had Battle Cat on like every song, and you know he brings that fun futuristic vibe to these records. And it was just like
when I first started out, you know, Battle Cat, we from the same hood, and I used to walk to his house in the front hood, go to his garage, and he'd be in there with the all the oldies, flipping them. And I mean, I used to go over there and write and, you know, watch him just put beats together and do everything. And like I said, we was all young and we was all hungry, but I love what manifested from that. Everybody was able to shine in some capacity.
Yeah, man. You know, one thing about it, you know, we got to give a shout out to Badass, rest in peace. We had him on a couple of years back, you know. Such a great dude, boy, so much great energy. And shameless plug, because we got Silky Fine coming tomorrow on the show, so we're really excited her too. Yeah. You know, one thing, Chan, when you talked about what it was, you know, when you would just sit back, you know, we talked about a big party in the studio. I think that party extended when y'all did the Please Believe It video, because that looked like a big party. Yeah, y'all
was,
just look like y'all had fun.
But you know what? We did have fun. And I used to do hair, because my mom did hair for years. But I used to do hair before I got signed with Snoop. That was like my little side hustle. And see, all my side hustles was good, if I could say so myself. But I did hair for a lot of these celebrities. You know what I'm saying? Like, my little resume, you know, ain't no punk. But the things that I was doing behind the scenes, I was able to build relationships with directors, the stylists, the makeup people, and I brung all those resources to what you saw from the Angels. You got a lot of me in that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We had Paul Hunter and Diane Martel directing that video for Please Believe It. We had Chris Robinson, who I was his key hairstylist, who used to book me on all of his videos. I was able to get him to do Baby If You Ready. You know what I'm saying? So cut back to what you were saying, like, that video with Please Believe It was the shit because we had Lazy Bone on there. He brought his presence to the table. If you watch at the end, you got Corrupt and my sister C-Walking. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like Snoop came through and added his shit. Yeah, all the things that we did, it just was always good. It always was a fun time because everybody have these personalities, so it was always jokes. It was always smoke. You know what I'm saying? So it was always really a good time.
And you know what was dope about that record, too? It was also seeing, based off the past tension that they had, the Dog Pound and Bone Thugs and Harmony in the same video. And that was a big deal at the time.
Mm-hmm. But I was just amazed because we probably didn't appreciate it then, you know, and I can speak for myself. Because a lot of things, I just felt like we could have been bigger than what we were. But if I just, which I have, sit back and look at it, and that's why a lot of times when I see Snoop, I just tell him, I said, thank you, you know, for putting me in the game officially the way that you did. Because there's no female group who got that blue carpet treatment the way that we got it, to have the producers that we had, to have the appearances that we had. I mean, to be on every bus stop and billboard in Los Angeles, and then to go out of town and see the same thing, vans wrapped in, you know, people come back from overseas talking about our posters and shit is out there. Like, TVT really did their thing when it came down to the distribution. So I see where money was spent. You know what I mean? And
right.
Listen, sometimes it just really, really overwhelms me. And I know for a fact the album went gold, but I could safely say that that's a platinum album because, listen, it is definitely a classic. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I just, you know, I'm very grateful to have that experience, you know, and to have been a part of that.
Let me tell you,
this, man. For
me observing and reviewing albums at that time, I could pretty much say that that album was so flawless, any of them could have been a single. Any of them could have had a video or a single.
Yeah. I was shooting for Game to Get Over because I thought that would have been so dope for them to see the whole Doghouse family come together and do a song that, you know, the streets was really, really loving. But, shit, we had the east side of the movie, so you still got that.
Definitely, man. And you know, one thing about it, too, because we got to give her flowers while she's here, too, because I cannot forget LaToya Williams. You know, I mean.
Lil Rita.
I mean, that, yes. I mean, she really,
man,
I mean, that,
that
she
girl
is one
so
of the
soulful.
Yes, she is. She is like, you know, her vocal inflection reminds you of a young Aretha in terms of just how she really just harnesses that voice. To me, she is one of the unsung R&B hip-hop queens of California, you know.
Absolutely.
You know,
she just got a voice that can't be denied, and I feel like she should have been went further, you know what I mean, because she had it. She was giving the ones a run for the money, and that happened also with her on our single because a lot of people caught on to that too, you know what I'm saying, because of her hook on that song. Like, you got to give credit where credit is due.
Right. Right.
She made it radio friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what she did on Y'all joint, I mean, what she did on, you know, Baby If You Ready, I mean, of course, on Snoop's Dog, you know, Welcome to the Doghouse, you know, the All-Star compilation album. I mean, what she did Fallen Star, when she was on the opening track, Doghouse America, I mean, you know.
She was also on Gangsta,
I mean,
and Me, too.
Yeah. I mean,
but
girl,
you don't know what you're getting into. You can't see the Gangsta in Me. That was my favorite one, too.
And now we know the album was doing good and success. To let our people know, like, why wasn't there no follow-up to the second album?
And I'm going to keep it 100 because that's what I do. And if anybody got a problem with it, they can come and see me. But first and foremost, we got sued for copyright infringement. And that's because you have a movie, Charlie's Angels, that's coming out the same time our album is coming out. So I guess these fucking execs said, who is these bitches on all these billboards and all these bus stops and everything? And we got a fucking movie coming out, and they have this Charlie's Angels reference. So that was one thing that kind of put a damper in it, because I don't know what the settlements or litigations was really about, because I was involved. It wasn't involved in that part, but I do know we had to end up changing the name, and some of the stuff was pulled from the shelves. So that's what kind of set us back. But it also set us up, too, because people was like, well, who the fuck is this? You know what I'm saying? And so cut two, Eagles started playing a part in it. You know?
Right.
Someone decided they wanted to go solo in the midst of us on our rise. And then we facing all this opposition, and then it start happening within the circle. You know, and I'm like, okay, well, why would you wait till now to go solo when we're all solo artists? Like, let's get a fan base first. You know what I mean?
Right.
Let's at least get another album under our belt. Let the world know us, and then, shit, we can all do what we want to do. But, you know, when certain people be in your ear and hyping you up and you start believing your own hype, then, you know, you're blowing your own smoke. And so that was a whole thing. We did a whole tour without your girl, Cola Loke, because everybody couldn't see eye to eye, because we couldn't understand, like, where the discord was coming from that was breaking us up. And with every good group, this happens. It's in history. It's in the books. You know what I'm saying? And I can go further into detail into it, but I'm going to choose not to do that. But that's really just the sum of it. And we just, like, just drifted further and further apart after, you know, Snoop, his show got to keep going on. You know what I'm saying? He still got to do what he got to do, because, shit, that's what he do. And that's really what happened with that. And then,
yeah, man.
We, you know.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
We didn't get. Then there was a thing with the royalty issue. And then I had to sue. You know what I'm saying? So it was just so much that happened. And it was such a good opportunity that it was kind of sad that it did end the way that it ended. So I'll say this to get us to why I'm even on the show right now. So I ended up becoming homeless after that. Like, legit, sleeping in my car for like 2 years from pillar to post, here and there. And that's why I had to end up suing, because I'm like, how do I write on the album that is doing well? You know what I'm saying? And I didn't get no royalties.
Right.
But see, I didn't understand the politics of it, because we were also in another lawsuit, and mine didn't happen until like a couple of years after that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, I need my coins. I'm out here bad. You know what I'm saying? So long story short, I talked to Lazy Bone. That is my brother. Like, I fucking love him. He looked out, no judgment. I told him, like, look, I need to come to Atlanta. I need somewhere to stay. I need to get my thoughts together. He was like, come. You're welcome. Went, stayed with him. They had this big house in Atlanta. And, you know, in Atlanta, they have basements and they have attics, you know. And I'm like, dog, let me stay up here. Like, I don't want to be bothered with nobody. I just want to be here but not here. You know what I mean? And he was like, man, make yourself at home. Do your thing. It was a sewing machine in the attic. And I was like, really, like, you know, me and this was me and God time. And, you know, I'm keep looking at the sewing machine, and I'm like, fuck it. I went to Walmart, got a few things, basic things, some patterns, some scissors, some fabric. And while I was up there, I taught myself how to sew. Now, mind you, the music was still in my heart, but Atlanta wasn't set up for me like that, because it was very cliquish. So I would record here and there, But my love for the music was just fading because I was like, damn, this bitch did me dirty. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I don't even want to do it no more, you know? And that's how I was feeling. So I had this other thing that I discovered, and it was just consuming me. And so I just started making everything that I could think of because, you know, I'm a tall girl, so a lot of stuff, when I go to the store, they ain't even got it for me, so I used to make it for myself. So I said, you know what? It's time to go back to L.A. And I'm still Big Chan, mind you, but everybody don't know what I'm going through. I just ain't been around in a minute. So I started going back out to parties and networking and, you know what I'm saying, still in the same circle. I'm still who I am. So, you know, the access is still there. And people will be like, where you get that from? Or, you know, like what I got on or things like that. And that is how that started. I started making shit for people and, you know, making my own clothes, being my own, you know, postcard, so to speak. And then I ran into a stylist one day, and he was like, can you do some alterations? And that's how that started. And then word of mouth just kept going around about me doing this. And I just started making clothes for people. I never had a chance to even put out my own line because this had became my life. And it was so consistent, and it paid me well. You know what I mean? So it was just like, okay, God, this is what you want me to do. So I just was obedient, and I did that. And cut to, I end up making stuff for Beyonce, meeting with her and, like, personally doing some pieces for her. Another friend of mine just seeing me post my work on Facebook, like I would just, you know, design stuff and post it up. And she like, look, Prince is going to do American Leg of his tour, and we just need to change this whole look. We need to just do something funky. She brought me a bag of his clothes, y'all. And she said, any sizes that you need, you could use this as a reference. We went shopping for fabric, and Prince wasn't really wearing sequins. I've seen a few things here and there, but it's this gold, like, tunic shirt that I made for him with the pants, and it's, like, everywhere. Like, if you go into the forum, it's hanging up, like, it was in all the magazines after he passed. Like, that's my fucking work. You know what I'm saying? CeeLo, same thing. I see him at a show one night. He had some kind of rhinestones on the shirt. I'm like, nigga, I could have did that. He was like, I didn't know you could do this. Long story short, me and him have a track record of shit that I done did for him. But what stands out the most is when he did Super Bowl with Madonna. That's my black sequins choir robe CeeLo is wearing in front of millions. But people don't know it's the girl from Doggy's Angels that's doing all this, you know? And it still goes on to this day. I've made shit for Meg Thee Stallion, Cardi B, you know what I'm saying? Worked with Nicki Minaj. I mean, the list goes on. And that's how I just merged this thing into fashion. And if you look back on the stuff that Doggy's Angels was doing, I'm the one who brung the concept for the khaki suits, because Snoop was just going to let us run out there. It's not his job to be the stylist. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like, look, we got to have some type of femininity. We talking too much shit to just go out there like our regular selves. It got to be something to it. Those same sketches and some of those outfits, khaki suits cut up that y'all saw us wearing, those were my images and ideas that we had a seamstress do for us at the time. You can see I wasn't sewing then, but I had the vision, and I'm like, we got to do something different, and that's going to catch on. So we did them damn khaki suits in every color you could think of.
I mean, Shan, me and King are just like, we're just pleasantly dumbfounded. We're just blown away. I mean, Prince and Beyonce, that's a lifetime of work right there for most people, and you did that and plus that. I mean, when we think about a lot of the black fashion designers, which you have come into that great, you know, vein of, I mean, we got to shout out, you know, April Walker from Walker Wear, two black guys
yes.
from Toronto, Carl Kanai. You know what
Dapper
I mean?
Dan.
Look, yeah, Dapper Dan. Dapper Dan's like the godfather of this shit, man. I mean,
he is.
You know,
no fucking doubt.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, of course, you know, Fat Farm, you know, with Russell Simmons, you know, I mean, you know, we got to give props to Puff Daddy, you know, with Sean John, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, this, I mean, you know, and
but this
and
is
it's
all
wild,
a part of hip-hop culture. We make this
yes, it
shit
is.
Lit. We make this shit lit from hip-hop to fashion, and those two are in the same bed. They have kids together, every generation.
Now, while this is on my mind, Shan, because I want to ask you about this, strictly from an academic commentary principle, because Kanye some years ago, you know, because Kanye, and we're just talking from his fashion endeavors, of course, because he did his internship at Louis Vuitton, you know, to really kind of get mm-hmm. more of a grasp at the time of what he was going to do with ultimately what he would do with his clothing line with his Yeezy wear. But he had talked about how black people had encountered so much opposition from a lot of those big fashion corporations in terms of trying to, you know, us getting our name and getting our presence known and felt in the business. And he said that was part of his mm-hmm. inspiration for what he wanted to do in reference to how he wanted to be that next big, great designer.
He did that.
Yeah.
He's almost a billionaire or is a billionaire, and that's because he wanted to see what he wanted to see in hip-hop. I mean, we have been paving the way for so long, and coming from another perspective of being in this industry,
mm-hmm.
I'll take an example for you. How we're always getting robbed for our creativity. Just like
right.
Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts,
mm-hmm.
Pretty Woman, my favorite movie of all time. I ended up getting
mm-hmm.
a call to do a job for her, for a Lancome campaign. And
mm-hmm.
I made the skirt that she's wearing on the campaign. Now, just because there was a white stylist involved, it was just like I was work for hire. They didn't want to give me that acknowledgement. So
right.
the white stylist gets all the credit. Nobody knows, it's the little black girl from South Central that they made this damn skirt for Julia Roberts. You know what I mean? So I can imagine Kanye went through a lot of that. And so that's why
mm-hmm.
he just kept going and said, look, I'm a shit on all y'all because these ideas that I have, it's going to make millions. And you can't keep a Yeezy shoe when that bitch drop. It's selling out instantly. Everything he dropped, you could say it looked like the trash collection or whatever. Well, guess what? You got a lot of people who go in the trash because they fucks with him. And, yeah, he did that.
You know, one thing about it too, Shan, because, you know, we, you know, on this show, and it's interviews like this that we just absolutely love because it covers so many different elements of,
mm-hmm.
of business to fashion to just real stories. Because we don't all we hear about the fame and the glamour, but we don't always hear about the grind and the strife that
mm-hmm.
accompanies it a lot of times. In terms of fashion, and me and King, we me and my brother, we always talk off the air and sometimes on the air about the direction of hip-hop in terms of fashion, where it's gone from the men and the women's side of it. Obviously, we came from the era where it was Timberland boots, you know, baggy jeans, hoodies, you know, which is why we love the West
mm-hmm.
so much because y'all really have never changed y'all dress code out there. It's pretty much been the same.
Mm-hmm.
But across the board in fashion, how do you feel about the trends in reference to I'ma just say it. Niggas wearing skinny jeans and all that shit and there then the perceived feminization of the masculinity in hip hop. I want to get your thoughts.
I don't like that. I don't like it. Blasphemy.
Where do you think this started happening? When did the change start happening to you? When did this start happening?
I think it changed when we lost the masculinity, when we lost the voices like Ice Cube, when we lost the voices like Public Enemy, when we lost
mm-hmm.
the voices of our messengers who were giving us
right.
guidance. I don't care if
right.
he was shooting 50 niggas in a song. God damn it, if his ass needs to get dealt with, he going to get dealt with. Then everything just softened
up. That's the South Central way.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
That's the L.A. way.
Yeah. And then everything just softened up because, you know, we had a new generation coming. And then they had new drugs. They had new songs. They had a new way of thinking. And it wasn't the knowledgeable way that we had, because even though we had this gangbang culture, who
we have real shit
glorified now, they don't understand what it took to be in a gang, like how you got to be initiated, like, nigga, how if one of the homies get killed, you got to get your ass in this car because we finna go put in work. They didn't understand how that culture even came about. But going back to what you said, it's like they did things differently because they didn't have the teachings that we had. Like, you had poor righteous teachers. You had a lot of rappers, KRS-One, who were still dropping knowledge. Like, you got some food for thought out of that. You know what I mean? It was just structured different. So now you have certain execs who said, well, hey, we're not going to find no more of this conscious shit. And that's where the femininity began, because you let a young generation come in, and I don't know what's in the water. I don't know what the hell is going on, but you got a lot of homosexuality. You just got a lot of things that we didn't see back in our heyday in hip-hop. And now it's acceptable. They have so many rights. And shout out to them. I'm not bashing anybody. I'm just looking at where we are now and how we got here. And the woman, like, if you're not looking like a stripper and you're not twerking, I mean, you're not getting no record deal. Like, it has changed so drastically that I can't knock them, because this is their era and they doing what they want to do with it, and they making more money than a lot of us made, you know what I'm saying, in our era, because they have something right now that we didn't have, and they have this internet. They got social media. So things can happen a little faster versus someone just trying to get in the game and, like, damn, I got a network. I got to go to all these clubs, you know. Everything right now is a click of a button for them.
Right.
So.
Less legwork.
When I see it, it's like, you know, the men are wearing purses, the men are getting their nails done. I mean, it's, I'm trying not to judge here because that's not my job to do that. But things just has really changed from when I was a part of hip hop.
And we talk about a lot of that
too,
on the show.
I would say, too, that if you came in, do your, and let your talent speak for yourself, do your thing. But when it gets a situation where people are feeling pressured to where they have to sound like this or act like this or wear a dress like this, that's where it becomes a problem. Because even with Frank Ocean, he's a gay artist, but at the same time, nobody's really caring about the fact that he's gay. He's a dope artist.
Yeah, well, that's not what we see when we see him. You know, he's not wearing it as a badge of honor. And then I was just looking at Kid Cudi, who was on Saturday Night Live, I believe that was, don't quote me.
Yeah.
But he had on a dress.
Yeah, Kid
and
Cudi.
They said it was in honor of Kurt Cobain. But see, it's like how I hear some of the comedians talk, like some of them won't put that dress on. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's just a matter of the person and what they will allow from themselves. I mean, I can't really be the judge of that, but I'm just saying this shit has changed so much. I really can't call it. Because, you know, people are entitled to be who they are and do what they love to do, but I don't like seeing men in skinny jeans. That's just my personal opinion.
You know, and it's wild, Sam, because when we look at it, you know, it's wild because, you know, when we – hold on one second. I'm right back. Yeah, but, you know, one thing about it, Chan, when we look at it, you know, from the change of it over the years, because, you know, here at Off the Cuff, we love everybody, you know. We don't care what your sexual orientation is. We don't care who you are. You got great music. You got great music. One of the, matter of fact, one of the, I got to plug him because this dude is like one of the illest out there.
you know, like King talked about Frank Ocean, you know, about what he talked about how, you know, Frank came out and said his first love was a man. And you know, there was flack. There's another artist by, out of South Central by the name of Steve Lacy, you know, who's come out as bi. Steve's talented as hell. That's all I can say. That dude is talented as shit.
well, most
you know,
of them are, and that's why, yeah, you can't take nothing from them because even in the fashion industry, a lot of my friends that I work with are gay, and I love them to death. I might hurt something behind some of them. You know what I'm saying? But we're just in a different time now.
Yeah, we are. You know, and we wonder how it sometimes, because we talk off the air about stuff like this, and we wonder, you know, where the game came in terms of, you know, because we've always talked about in reference to people, the decision makers in the boardroom, the people who are bringing certain artists in. Whatever somebody's personal journey is, no matter where they go, gay, straight, trans, whatever, that should be their own personal journey and their evolution into finding themselves. I don't believe anybody should be forced into anything. And I'm not making any indictments on anybody. I'm just saying in general, people should have a right to make a choice. I think what we're seeing now in the business is that we're kind of getting the impression that with certain artists that there are certain people who are there's some questionable business going on in terms of what artists are doing to get on.
Right.
That's just something that, you know, but when we look at it, if everybody wants to talk about, well, you know, I'm going to just say it on air because I've said it on air before. I don't do conspiracy theories because I like shit that I can actually see to actually speak on. I think some of this shit is just people come up with these theories because when crazy shit happens, they need some type of explanation to explain it. And some things I'm like, look, you know, I'm like, listen, if we look at Hollywood and the entertainment industry at large and turn, everybody talks about, oh, this gay phenomenon. I'm like, no, I'm like, people have been gay in Hollywood for years. I'm like, why the fuck? I'm like, Elton John, I mean, Rock Hudson, Dick Sargent, Dick York. You know, I mean, you know, this is something that has always been going on. And, you know, and
this generation
I guess,
is just a little bit bolder. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you know, and that's the crazy thing. Yeah, you know, but we started seeing this going back almost 20 years ago when we kind of started seeing this come out a bit more across the board, at least from the women's side of it. There were innuendos about sexuality. I mean, the quote-unquote gay rapper from the 80s that has ran the gamut of possibly so many. This is not a new phenomenon in terms of homosexuality and hip-hop. This is something that we have always had in the culture. I mean, let's keep it real. Look at the situation with Afrika Bambaataa. And I can only say that because we know about that situation in more detail now. But this is something that has always gone on. I think especially in the black community, this is something that at times we didn't always want to address. What we are seeing now is a situation where it's there, and we're going to have to be open, have open discussions about it. But from a strictly music perspective, you know, some of the music, like you said, because we all come from that era, it just was not something, it was never about being anti-gay. It was about what we felt was a true representation of hip-hop and where we're seeing, and that's not to say gay people do not have a place in it. It's just what we listen
to. Oh, no, they run everything.
Yeah, right.
So they can't never say they don't have a place.
Right, you know. And
we don't like the fact that people are anti-masculinity. That's the thing.
Right. And that seems right. And, you know, one thing about it with Kid Cudi, because I am a big, I'm a big Nirvana fan, to me somehow is like, I mean, Kurt Cobain was, I'm like, I'm just not for men wearing dresses. That's just me. That's just not something I would do. But my thing is, you know, I can't help but think, because I'm like, he said he wanted to bring attention to suicide awareness. I'm like, dude, you could have did that without, I'm like, you could have shout out at Kurt Cobain before the show without wearing a dress. I'm like, and that's the question I have. Was that really organic? Or was that because this is a follow-up to a certain rapper who decides to make a very controversial video, and now everybody's like, okay, let's see how I can one-up
this. I mean, you can't really say that desperate per se, but at the same time, you just got to observe timing. So we ain't heard a kid.
Right,
I ain't,
right,
be real,
exactly.
I ain't heard a kid study.
Exactly.
So we figure, hey, I'm going to go ahead and come back out, bust this sundress on y'all niggas, and y'all going to talk about it.
Right. And then, you know, there is this culture called clout chasing, the clout culture. I mean, I don't know. People do what people wake up out of bed and they are entitled to make their decisions for the day. And if
right.
that's what he's rocking with, rock
right.
on, boy. But,
wow.
you know, we are definitely in a different time. Understood.
Yeah.
But going back to you and everything now, I also did, you know, when we was trying to play some of your music on the show, I did some crate digging, so to speak, and every song that I dug up, that shit slapped. Are you going to come back
yes.
to the booth and bless us? Because the female rapper genre needs you. It needs you
yes,
bad.
Yes, they do. They do. We need to hear it as men. We need to hear this.
Well. I am. I'm going to do it easy.
Yes.
I'm going to make it short and sweet. I'm not trying to make a comeback. I'm just doing something that I still love because I fell out of love with hip-hop for a minute. But I feel like when I do it this time, it's not going to be that pressure of, I got to make it. Now my tune has changed because I have a story to tell. I have a testimony, and I'm going to be speaking to that. So it ain't going to sound like what y'all been hearing now. You know, I might get something that make you want to turn up and, you know, have a good time and dance, but I just feel like I need to tell my truth because in the span of my career, I've been a part of someone else's vision. I've been in two groups, so nobody really know who Big Tam is. They just know she can rap. You know, she's from Cali. But I need to give my testimony. So, yes, to answer your question, I will be doing some more music.
Let's have a round of applause, yeah. y'all. All right.
Yeah.
Somebody got to provide that balance.
I love that applause yeah. button.
Look, I mean, one thing
yeah,
about it
is
that...
the right timing for it. That's what I was hoping... You was going to say yes, because you said no, I was going to hit you with the boo. So we
Ooh.
Need some good, we need some slapper.
But my apologies also for sliding in here a little late, because I was in some traffic, and then it was a few, you know, technical things going on my end. So first of all, I do want to apologize for that, but y'all know I was not going to not get up in here.
We appreciate
you,
and it's perfectly all right. Yeah, man, it's perfectly all right. One thing about it, Chan, is, you know, when you talk, you know, one thing when you talk about, when you know, speak on what it was with the female rappers back in the day and what it, you know, how it was, how do you feel about a lot of the female rappers in the game today in terms of, I mean, back in the day, of course, we had MC Light, we had Bahamadia, we had yourself, you know, we had Boss, you know, we had, you know, Lil' Kim, we had Foxy, you know, and now, you know, we're coming into the new generation. Of course, we got Cardi, we got Megan, we got Rhapsody, we got Snow the Product. You know, we got so it's diverse, but it's about the marketing. Where do you feel that the female marketing game is right now in terms of hip hop and what's being promoted and pushed?
Yeah, like Cardi B said, it's up. And what I do love about it, it's not all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because we
right.
have an influx of females now. And I love to see it, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't care how much they twerking or what they don't have on.
And Cam and Chyna. I had to throw that in there from Inglewood. Cam and Chyna. I cannot forget them. Them, ooh.
Okay,
yes,
shout out to them.
Ooh. Yes.
And it's this
yes,
other girl that I just heard, and she reminds me of like a female Kendrick Lamar. I think her name is LaDonna. And I'm just, like, discovering more and more. And I'm like, this is really awesome because there was a time that we didn't have this. Like, you can really count on two hands and probably 10 toes female rappers. But now,
right.
I'm talking about you go to their YouTubes, they got, like, millions of streams. Like, people know who these girls are. And like I said, they have the advantage that they have now is something that we didn't have, and that's social media. So to be honest with you, I love to see it. Let them keep coming in. Let the doors for the females be cracked wide open, because it is a beautiful thing. And this is truly, like, to be honest with you, the year of the woman, because we've been getting so much done. I'm talking about even with Kamala being in her position. I mean, I just see a lot of things taking place. Regina King, she's directing. Like, they're just making big statements in this industry. You know, even when your girl from Atlanta had the power to go and turn the whole voting system around. Women are just powerful beings. And
Stacey Abrams.
You know what I'm saying? So I just look at it, and I'm just like, wow, we some bad bitches, because these girls, they is in there. Do you hear me? And everybody is operating in their power, and I love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, you got, you know, of course, you got Issa Rae, you got Lisa Waithe. I mean, it's so many. I was mentioning female MCs. I mean, how could I forget, of course, me being from, you know, Virginia, Missy Elliott. Lady of Rage, Farmville, Virginia. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Lady of Rage. That's my dog.
Yeah, another one too, Shan, if you haven't listened to her yet, you need to. Lakely 47. You'll thank me.
Oh, the one who
wears a mask.
Money.
She wears a mask.
I got money. Yeah, I got my people now. I told you. I've been listening to them. Trust me when I tell you. I love it. I love to see it. Like, it is really a beautiful thing. And I'm glad that some of my contributions, whether big or small, it helped open up that door for that. I'm, you know, look, if you got it, you got it, and the world needs to hear it, period.
Yeah, you know, and one thing about it is to see the wave of it, because, you know, for a long time, you know, I think a lot of women, especially, you know, were marginalized in a capacity of not really getting their recognition in terms of, you know, because what we're seeing now is just such a pronouncement of, you know, black excellence, especially with all women out there. I mean, bitches making moves, and I mean, it's just beautiful to see, because I mean, you know, and it's not only getting notoriety, but getting acclaim. You know, notoriety can just be your name. Acclaim is when you are actually respected for your achievement.
I wish I was a part of this era right now, because I'm telling you, it's no telling where I'd be. Like, these girls get endorsements. Like, I mean, it's so much money to get in this moment. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I watched Cardi B. I was there from the beginning when she was starting, and just to see her evolve from the time that I worked with her until now, it's just like, it just kept, like, magnifying, you know? And she just caught on so quickly. I mean, it was almost like an overnight success that you don't even believe the work that she told you she put in.
Yeah. You know, and that's something that, and I mean, the fact is she's, you know, Cardi gets a lot of flack. I'm like, Cardi earned her spot. I'm like, she really put it in to really do what she had to do. And one thing I respect, too, about it, we just got to go there. Cardi has never denied her blackness. You know, in terms of, you know, because her specific ethnicity is Trini and Dominican. She said, but I'm black.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to tell you that. You know.
I just like how she just don't even give a fuck. Like, she brought that to the table. And like she said, she was already an internet sensation before it even got to where it is now. So all you're doing is seeing what she's already been doing times 10. She just gave y'all some rap. You know what I'm saying? And that is, and the rap is actually good. So,
and not to mention the fact that it also revolves around your personality. Because I heard of her when she used to come to the Carolinas to do radio shows. She had the outgoing personality that makes you click with people. Now, you know,
Yeah.
Pursuers will probably say that she's not the best rapper and all that, but sometimes your energy and how you correlate with people can make you go far. So we all know, mm-hmm. we know a lot of talented individuals, but those niggas got the most awful personality, and you ain't want to be
yeah.
in the same room with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
there's
a lot of that
in there too now.
Yeah, and for one thing, while we're talking about it, the black female excellence to Ava DuVernay from South Central. I cannot forget Ava, you know, 13.
I've
you know,
worked
her doing
with
the 13.
Ava DuVernay too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but, you know, one thing about it is, Shan, is that, you know, your story is so inspirational and incredible because, you know, in hip-hop, we see a lot of artists come and go, and then in show business, what we call is the second act. You know, sometimes, you know, LL has found it, you know, with his acting. You know, Master P, you know, has gone into his second act being an entrepreneur, you know, but he's already been doing that. You know, Ice Cube, you know, is a, you know, businessman with Big Three and, of course, directed movies, being an actor. Nas has been an investor extraordinaire in terms of other ventures, you know, Chameleonaire as well. You know, Scarface ran for public office down in Texas. You know, Jay Prince became an author after, you know, heading up and still heading up a very successful label. I mean, you know, Fat Joe, Noriega, you know, they're hosting podcasts. I mean, you know, you...
Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah, yeah.
Company.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's just...
Ice Cube, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Ludacris.
Yeah.
I love it. Because you're supposed to take your torch and run with it. You know what I mean? After hip-hop, it's not over because hip-hop is such a big genre. You know what I mean? It has so
mm-hmm.
many... Well, I'm going to just say kids and grandkids off of it. Like, it just came and took over every genre of music. And we did that. Black people, we did that. Started a whole movement that cannot be stopped. It didn't turn pop. It didn't turn rock. I mean, we got so many elements of it. We even had our little... Vanilla Wafers come in and get their piece of it, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they even did what they did with it. It's like, man, you got to love hip-hop. You just got to love
yeah.
it. And I thank God that, shit, I had my little piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, you know, one thing about it, you know, I think because we love, you know, the culture, you know, we're blessed, we're so fortunate to do, you know, to do the show like we do it. You know, one thing about it is, we are also very, we will call them out, too, in terms of the culture vultures, because we've seen on one hand of it how successful, you know, it has been over the past 35 years. You know, we've, you know, and this is, you know, like KRS said once, you know, I remember when they said, I knew back in the day that rap would never die, you know, but a lot of people thought rap was, you know, going to go the way of rock and roll, you know, people, and they thought rock and roll
mm-hmm.
was not going to be anything, which we invented too, you know, people like
mm-hmm.
Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Chuck Berry, you know, were the pioneers,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we
mm-hmm.
look at the origins of hip-hop in terms of the rhythm and the beats, James Brown and the JBs, you know, they laid down that foundation,
mm-hmm.
Gil Scott-Heron and the Lab
mm-hmm.
Poets. You know,
mm-hmm.
so this is something that we've had a long and distinguished history in terms of innovation, creation, expansion, and evolution.
Mm-hmm.
But inevitably, you know, we get a lot of people who do not always represent the culture or just see it as a quick way to get money, as we call appropriators, because you got, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's usually identified with white people, but you have black cultural appropriators as well. Just because you're black doesn't mean you always know the culture, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, how do you feel in terms of, you know, just the hip hop marketing in terms of what is, because there's so many dope artists, but not the doper artists really don't get the play as they should, you know, back in the day when we looked at the radios. You know, these were not under business like Clear Channel and iHeart. You know,
DJs actually had the chance to break in new artists in turn, because that's what a DJ is supposed to do, break in new artists. How do you feel about artists just getting opportunities who are really dope who may not get them, and just how they're, how can, you know, them finding their way in through, you know, social media and everything else without the foolishness?
Well, if I can speak to that artist, they just got to keep being true to themselves. You got to keep putting out good content, because one thing about good content and good music, it will never go unnoticed. And that is something I know for a fact. You just have to get your team in order and get some kind of, you know what I'm saying, strategy for the internet so that the people who need to hear it can hear it. That's the only thing I can say to that, because in this day and age, you don't need a label. You are the label. You have the biggest tool right now that's making or breaking people, and that's social media.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It cuts a lot of that leg room out the way, too.
It does.
Say that again, Dave.
It cuts a lot of that leg room out the way, too. Cutting that middleman.
Yeah. You can go get all your money.
You know,
now,
one
now,
thing
you know,
about
before
it.
I was gonna say before we leave, how has business been maintaining for you in this, you know, this new COVID era? Because 2020, you know, just took a toll on everybody in regards to not only tragedies but also this new way of living. How have you been able to maintain your sources and, you know, staying relevant?
Oh Jesus. Well, good old social media, but. Mentally, it was kind of tough. And, like, I'm normally an introvert. And if I can be honest with you, like, just the fact that the way that this whole thing has played out and what it has done to people, and you can see it on the internet every day. Like, some people was really, really losing it, and some people was really, really getting their shit together. And you can tell who's bullshitting and who's playing. That's what this whole thing has been a big lesson for me. And, you know, I just started finishing up a book that I've been working on for years, you know. So that's been a part of my therapy, too. You know what I'm saying? Dedicating time to that. And then I'm also doing a line dedicated to my mother, you know. She's no longer with us, but I want to continue her legacy. And that's, thank you, and that's doing well. And I've just been keeping myself busy, and I've just been checking the boxes that's been unchecked. Because before this came along, I had a system, you know, and I had dealt with depression a lot, too, after I lost my mom, because I was like my best friend. But thank God I had a skill that kept me occupied, and I didn't have time to kind of like mourn, so to speak. So when I had this time, and I just really had to deal, you know, like I said, dealing with those boxes that I left unchecked, that was a process for me, that I had that time to start dealing with some of that stuff and just sitting with it, you know what I mean, and actually acknowledging it, dealing with it, accepting some of it, rejecting some of it, you know what I'm saying, but making sure that I stay clear in mind, because everyone is not clear. A lot of people was on demon time, and I've been noticing that. So my discernment is a little stronger. You know what I'm saying? I've been, you know, getting closer to my creator, because I need to know what he need me to do versus what I want to do. And I've just been checking myself, man, left and right. But God has been good, because I'm still able to sustain from my gifts.
And he is, you know, won't God do it, because, you know, we're blessed to have you. And this is part of the vision that King had for this show that I've, you know, I came along, you know, a couple of years, you know, after he started this, you know, with the, you know, with his, in the Sandman Chinchilla. And, you know, me and my brothers, we've gone along on this journey. And shout out to everybody that has helped us along on the journey. This has facilitated us to be able to talk to legends like yourself, because one thing about it is we are big about showing love and giving respect to our legends while they are here. And we want to let you know we love you so much. We appreciate you for all you've done, what you have and what you will continue to do, and for your contribution. And we want to let you know you are appreciated.
Y'all ain't going to make me cry up in this thing, no. Thank you.
And you know what?
It's not
over. It's not over either. We're going to be definitely helping you get out, helping you, you know, get your vision out there even more. This is just the beginning, pretty much.
Oh, man. Thank y'all. I appreciate this. Like, I really do. And shout out again to the Plasma Queens for, like, pushing this thing through to, you know, connecting this dot. And I appreciate y'all platform for just even having me, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, but this...
Just letting you know, just also let you know, I'm throwing an invite out there. Episode 400 is coming soon. We're knocking these episodes down faster than I thought. So, if you have that...
Y'all see, that's when you can tell who's been working and who's been playing. Y'all been over there working.
Look, Cassidy, we had Cassidy on last
advantage
year,
of this
Cassidy was talking about
thing.
This.
I was like, this is the best time for us to get our weight up. 2020 was a great year.
There's a lot of
Cassidy.
Opportunities, though. I see a lot of entrepreneurs and people who left them 9-to-5s because they discovered other skills while just sitting still and they had nothing but time on their hands. Like, I love to see it.
Yeah, you know. And Cassidy, when we had him on yet last year, you know, Cassidy was speaking about this. He's like, in terms of rhyming, he's like, y'all niggas need to be stepping y'all pen game up. He's like, y'all should be better than when y'all started when this thing ends. Because it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's going to eventually, it's like, you know, the skills are always going to show no matter your vocation. Your vocation is your voice, and your voice announces your presence. And that is what is going to be your present to the world, what you present. And, you know, and from that perspective, man, I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, with your fashion line, as you keep going with it, pretty much are you looking to expand it more, or are you pretty much,
absolutely.
Good where you're at? Okay, perfect, perfect.
It's never good where I'm at. I love to be in the uncomfortable zone because that's where you get stretched. And like I said earlier when I was speaking to you about when I first got into it, I spend so much time making other people look good. You know what I'm saying? I just never had the physical time, hours, to just crank my line out and put those, you know, plays in position. But now that's what I'm doing because it's time. You know what I'm saying? And it's just time. It's overdue. It's long overdue.
We know game is to be sold, not to be told, so we know you're not going to give up the game on how it's going to be done, but we are looking forward to it, and you're welcome back anytime. Anytime, it goes without saying, you're welcome back anytime. So when you
when you make that
championship run like Brady, you know, which you're already on, and you keep collecting them rings, you know, but once you make that big play on it, you know, we want you to come back on and tell us about that big, big booming endeavor that you got where that big bag came in, and we're like,
God willing, baby, I'll be back.
Yes.
That's right,
so
yo.
I appreciate it, man.
Thank y'all
for just letting me chop it up with y'all like this. I really enjoyed myself. Y'all got all in my business, but you know, it was a good one.
We do that in a good way. We're not like Deputy Doodall.
Nah, but you know, I stand in my truth. I ain't got nothing to hide. Look, I done told y'all I done been homeless. I done been struggling with a depression and everything. But you know, it's real life. And people love things candy coated. But hey, I'm living in the real world. This ain't no reality show. So I'ma just tell you my truth, because hey, this is what sets me free.
Definitely. But yeah, man. But once again, we thank you so much.
Anytime. Out of here. Thank you once again for chopping it up with us.
Anytime.
I'm gonna definitely hit you back sometime this week, though. So you know, we still got some business to handle. We're gonna be building these brands up and we're going to just keep this ball rolling, you know?
Keep it rolling, y'all. Y'all doing a good job. Thank you again. Well, anytime y'all need me, y'all, you know how to get to me. And God bless y'all.
God bless you back. Stay anointed and awesome, always. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Well, I'm going to get out of here because I got to burn this midnight oil.
All right,
definitely.
Be easy.
All right. Another chapter in the
all
book.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
Good night.
Be out. Night.